Your ATM is safe. Your banks are safe. There's enough cash in the financial system. And there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. Don't you want somebody that I don't
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I have been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love. Don't you
on this trend has been margin called. Think you was a hook, trust to get out of now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks, hell of the same. Now they're cooking the books, save up a deck and all us in a day. Another November, I'm just getting away. Big of the bank, leave a ripple effect. When it all blows up, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, it's not a success. Pull back the curtain, so what do you get? And it's the risk with a bit of net. Made from your savings, that's 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialize loss is why we've been the game. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause you're just a pawn in the fertility stream.
Money talks and pay for the show. Pay for the crowd, pay for the throne. Pay for the media to lie to our face. Taught the truth, so we repeat our mistakes. Sell the dream, but never deliver. While we're here. Fees and clicking the tickets, siphoning funds from the mouthless bigot, blind made the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth, commingled the risks that nobody knows. How far ever go to a damaged collateral, another excuse for oppressive control. The government capture was part of the play, reapers are bowing at the end of the day. We're calling for help, but nobody came. And bailouts are poor ones and complete.
Money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex, and fallible humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked, and our economies are largely to
what would happen? We take our money out of its systems. Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? We will be being our money and richness. Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the utility effects with the world of free markets.
Build an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step two.
Move our savings into this system so no one can ever touch it.
Step three.
Our savings, venture, and all activities move this way. With our own money, everything changed. Due to all the positivity
of the game. Tired of our desire, earning our work, and tired of earning a larger piece of pie, or of yours to be earned by. Money is the art of power.
So we can move value without being citizens. Move up from gambling, saving. Move up from all the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't got to trust every word they say. So a freedom of mind can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can end the control of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, exit the gate.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 77. I am your host, Coleman, and I hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I hope you talked a lot about Bitcoin. I hope you put down any shit coins that people might have brought up. I know I was speaking to friends and family, and that was some of the things that they brought up as well. What do you recommend for crypto outside of Bitcoin? So we are going to be talking about that today, how we as a community of Bitcoin veterans can go ahead and squash this and stump this out and just make sure that we put everybody on a path to success. But we have Bob up here. I see we have Eomar, AC, Wade, Steve Kelly, Hunter, Wade on the Bitcoin Alaska handle, Death in Bitcoin, Ace, LBN, good morning, ma'am, KG, Jeremy, Toasty, Daniel, good morning, everybody. Everybody that's listening right now, if you could do me a big favor, let's go ahead and let's throw me a fist pump right now. Yeah, thank you, Wade. And then let's go ahead and let's retweet this. Let's get some more people getting views on this. And this could be a great conversation. So, Bob, I'm going to start with you, sir. How was your weekend? Anything significant or of importance that you want to share with the audience today.
Good morning, Coleman. Good morning, everybody. No, it was just cool seeing Bitcoin hang out here and drive people nuts and make people question all of the things about life, if it's real or not, if they're in a simulation, if XRP is going to the moon. It was just a great weekend.
I hate that XRP. I think it's, I really don't follow any shit coins. I say that in all honesty. I don't really care. They'll come up on my feed as I'm looking for news articles. So I know that it was at an all time high, I think last week, but I think from that, it's already tanked and it's already gone down. So correct me if I'm wrong with anybody, but again, that's going to be a big focus this week and in the coming weeks is steering everybody away from just these shit coins and just making sure that everybody understands just how wrong they are and that they are not an alternative. They're not even the same league as Bitcoin. And we need to try and figure out a way how we can explain it. I was talking to my wife, when we were walking this weekend and how we can kind of distinct the two. And the best analogy that I could come up with is that Bitcoin and crypto is like food. And so Bitcoin is going to be eating healthy, you know, carnivore diet, paleo diet, and not having any processed food. And then the shit coins is everything else. You're eating the marshmallows, the Pop-Tarts, everything that's processed. So they both serve the same purpose. They'll fill your stomach, but only one of them is going to make you feel good and keep you around for a long time. So we need to try and figure out a way that we can reach everybody with this. But we have Eomar up here in AC. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. I don't know about for everybody else, but you got a little loud and echoey there towards the end. My weekend was pretty uneventful. I've been trying to make sense of what's going on in the Middle East there. I don't know if you have that on the talking list or not today, but a lot of chaos there. I haven't been watching the price action too much because, as I've said before, the DCA doesn't care, and I'm not selling anything, so it's just kind of a novelty thing to watch. So it doesn't draw too much of my attention.
No, Eomar, I did have the what's going on in Syria on lower down on my sheet notes, but you brought it up. So do you want to go ahead and kind of let everybody know of what's going on and the significance of this?
Well, it's pretty messy, right? A lot of people I follow from that region, you know, there's people on both sides, you know, ones that are happy that Assad is out, ones that are concerned or upset that he's out. You know, there's a lot of implications some of the concern from, you know, people that are like pro Palestine is that the potential for a disruption in the flow of arms from Iran to Hezbollah, which I guess traditionally will go through Syria. The other aspect of it is there's like a decently sized Christian population in Syria that have lived relatively well under Assad, and they're concerned with, you know, like an ISIS / Al-Qaeda taking over, what the implications will be for them. There's just like the other thing, which we've already seen happen is like land grabs, right? I don't know how many people are familiar with like the Greater Israel Project, but in a lot of the extremists, the Zionist extremist minds, you know, they're supposed to own a large chunk of the Middle East, not just the historic Palestine that they've, stolen already. They want parts all the way down to like Saudi Arabia, the Nile River, up through into, Syria and across over into Jordan. So, you know, we've seen since the collapse of Assad's government, we've seen, the Israelis move in and take advanced positions. They say that they're doing it for defensive purposes, but that's what they say about all of their land grabs. It's always for defense. And again, it's really messy in terms of like who's, I don't know if there's anybody that's a good guy. You know, the basis of my understanding of Syria came from when I was in the Marine Corps, my Arabic teacher was, Syrian. She was from Damascus and she painted it as like a relatively nice place to be. I don't know if that's rose-colored glasses because she didn't live there anymore, or if that's just like her experience. You know, I've seen reports from like Amnesty International that decry a lot of the human rights abuses that have occurred under Assad. And you know, there's plenty of propaganda out there. You know, we've seen the like false flag attacks. There's the gas attack that who's like, hey, if you do a gas attack, we're gonna attack you. And then like the next day there's a gas attack. It's like, okay, that was pretty obvious. But I think they're, I can't like discount the reporting of Amnesty International because I rely on it for their reporting in terms of things that I do know more about, like in terms of like Palestine and the suffering they go there. So I can't, you know, pick and choose which of their reporting, you know, I put faith in. So like based off of that, like, you know, I'm sure that there was human rights violations under Assad. Scott Horton wrote about it in his book Enough Already. So I'm just going to share that to the space because, I think he knows a lot more than I know about what's going on there. So I'll share, he made a post recently about it. So I'll share that to the space. You know, if anybody's looking to learn more in depth, like I said, my knowledge of Syria is, pretty weak at the moment. I have started to do some research so I can write about it. But I'm not there yet, to be able to really comment too much. But I would definitely point you towards Scott Horton. You know, he's somebody that I put a lot of stock into. So, his take on it is probably pretty close to accurate.
I think, something that definitely needs to be mentioned is that Biden gave a press statement, I believe it was yesterday, talking about Syria, and that we were involved over the last 48 hours. We were using our fighter jets and bombers to take out strategic targets. So he did mention that in his speech. But prior to his speech, President-elect Trump put out on Truth Social that, you know, he said what's going on there is horrible, that he hopes that there can be peace. But he stressed that we should not take part in it whatsoever. And so, again, I know that he's put in some controversial people in his cabinet that not everyone feels that we still think they might be pro-war. But I think that was a big statement that he said that we should definitely stay out of the region and we have no reason to get involved. And yet it already seems that the Biden administration is set on trying to intervene somehow with these targeted strikes.
Yeah, and that was echoed by Vance, like shortly after. You know, it's a good signal. We'll see how it actually like pans out. Some of the things that I've seen, coming out of that region is what they're specifically targeting is the air defense. And you know, that, you know, if they're taking out the air defense, the only thing that shows me is like, you know, they're preparing for, you know, potentially further, Israeli advances into the territory because we saw in Lebanon, we still see it in Gaza, like on the ground, the IDF is mostly like conscripts. I mean, you'll see like 20-year-old staff sergeants and stuff. It's absurd. But where they can actually have like some success, I guess if you could call it that, is their ability to just, destroy things from the air. So taking out the air defenses kind of gives them that, more, air superiority and the ability to just rain down more destruction, when they feel like it. So, that's what I saw specifically called out by, you know, some people, like some reporters and stuff that I follow from that region was that the air defenses are being taken out. So bit of a area of concern there, but like I said, hopefully Trump sticks to it and it's not our fight. And hopefully that's just not a precursor for, you know, when the Zionists are committing another, you know, ethnic cleansing campaign that we just, you know, turn the other way. Kind of concerned that that's what the narrative will be. Well, it's not our problem, you know, and turn away, which is, I guess, better than being directly involved, but that would also require us to stop funding them and giving them all the bombs to carry this out.
It'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. And it's coming pretty quick to Trump taking office on the 20th, just a little over, I think 40 days. So, Things should be moving in a positive light, and we don't want to spend too much time on this. Again, I want to keep this a positive show, but this definitely, just keep an eye out there. I know that Randy put a really good report in the Daily Intelligence bulletin. I have it up in the Nest. It's one of the first links. So just keep reading that. And then I always stress this. Anytime Randy puts his AC thoughts or comments in there,
Make sure you read those and read them over a couple times. He has really good insights and keeps you really grounded. So just make sure that you give that a look. And if you're not following us on the Bitcoin Veterans handle, what are you doing? Make sure you go out there and give us a follow so you can get that report every morning, Monday through Friday. So let's go ahead and start covering some of the big news that happened over the weekend. And then Bob, AC, Omar, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. We'll start off with Amazon. Amazon's, the National Center for Public Policy Research, submitted a proposal for Amazon to adopt Bitcoin as a treasury reserve asset. So they're going to have a vote very similar like Microsoft is doing tomorrow to see if they want to discuss about adding Bitcoin to their treasury during their shareholder meeting in April. And they stated that this will be the best long-term interest for its shareholders. So at the end of Q3 this year, Amazon had roughly $88 billion in cash sitting on its balance sheet, and the company is valued at $2.3 trillion. And so the shareholders want to acquire at least 5% into Bitcoin. So pretty crazy that they're talking about this as well. Again, we don't know if it's going to pass. All they're doing is just voting if they want to try and research it and do it. And it's happening at the end of April, I believe. So almost Q2 of next year. But I would not be surprised if you see shareholders of Facebook, or I think it's Meta, or Apple to come out and make similar statements. And I truly do believe we're really hitting a new phase in this Bitcoin adoption, that these mega corporations are taking a look at it. Even if they don't add it right away, the fact that they're sitting down and discussing it, I think, is very significant news. So Bob, AC, Eomar, if you have any comments on this or thoughts, I'd like to get them from you.
I totally agree, Colin. I think it's big news. I don't know that it moves the needle initially, but, you know, as these are some of the largest, most valuable companies in the world, by market cap, they are at least looking at it. And I think the big thing is with, a possible strategic Bitcoin reserve. Again, I'm not holding my breath on that either, but if that does come to fruition and there's a law in the books that allows the United States to do this, I think these companies are going to be so far out ahead of the others who haven't at least started looking at Bitcoin and trying to understand it and its importance.
And again, I don't think it's going to change the needle or move the needle really quick, like you said, Bob. But at a point, the price of Bitcoin is really going to start ripping. We've heard people say the price can hit anywhere from 250 to 500 this cycle without nation state adoption. So what happens to these small companies, like Semler Scientific, Metaplanet out of Japan, where they just start growing so rapidly, and then not even taking effect of MicroStrategy and what they're doing? At a point, it just becomes a race, and it doesn't matter. You're going to jump through anything and just start trying to move as quickly as you can so you do not get left behind. And I think that's going to be the most interesting thing. And if I was going to put a timeline on that, without a strategic reserve announcement, I would expect May, June of next year is going to be just absolute fire for these large corporations scrambling to acquire Bitcoin. Because if you look at what MicroStrategy, again, did over the weekend, they purchased $2.1 billion of Bitcoin. So they bought 21,550 Bitcoin. They now hold 423,650 Bitcoin on their balance sheet. They bought it for $25.6 billion at an average cost of $60,000. Like, this is huge news. The amount of Bitcoin that they are gobbling it up, just MicroStrategy, is extremely significant. When you look at the ETFs, BlackRock has been just on a mad tear as well. They're purchasing thousands of Bitcoin every single day through their ETF. Again, there's only it's 450 Bitcoin mined every day. Riot just announced that they're doing a senior convertible notes offering for $500 million. years. And the majority of those funds are going to be used to acquire Bitcoin. Like, this thing is really starting to heat up. And these are just, again, Riot and Mara, they're big in our industry, but they're just peanuts compared to everything else. So it's just, I find all this news just fascinating, and it's happening at just an extremely quick pace. AC or Bobby Omar, if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'll jump in. I'll just say that this is like the game theory of institutional adoption that's finally starting to play out. You know, in previous cycles, we talked about institutions are here and, you know, inevitably we were wrong or we were early, and we were ahead of time. But, you know, it's one of those things where now we are in a position where possibly one of the hardest things that we'll have to do is just sit here and do nothing and let this game theory play out. And I think a lot of it was, you know, accelerated by the outcome of the election. There was a lot of concern and question on the outcome of the election on, you know, who is more supportive or is going to be more restrictive of Bitcoin. But now that that's become clear, you know, we've started to see a large influx of shareholders reaching out to their boards, expressing interest in adopting some form of a Bitcoin strategy within that particular company. And then we're starting to also see the nation states. And then, you know, today and tomorrow is going to be Bitcoin Mena. And, you know, while I have the percentages pegged pretty low, I think there is the potential that, you know, we hear nation states within that region in the Middle East and or sovereign wealth funds also making an announcement that they could be adopting Bitcoin as a treasury asset as well. So, you know, now is the time to continue to stay humble, stack sats, and then just do nothing and let the game theory play out.
So there's a couple things I want to hit on that, AC. At the beginning, you said we said nation or institutional adoption, nation state adoption. And for those of you that missed it on Friday, we had Natalie Brunell on the show, and it was really, one of my favorite shows that we did. It was really good. My wife actually went back and listened to the recording. So that tells me that she really enjoyed it as well. One of the things though that she had mentioned was that she still can't convince her friends to acquire Bitcoin. And we all kind of had this assumption that once Bitcoin hit 100K, like we were going to start seeing a big push of FOMO from the retail side. And I don't think that's really come to fruition. We're not seeing that happen. And I have a belief that retail is not going to join this cycle until the price of Bitcoin hits just an extremely large number. And I put that number right around $500,000. So $500,000 price for Bitcoin. And the reason for that is because many perceive that it's just too far out of reach. They don't have the money to acquire a whole Bitcoin. And that's how we think. We think in absolutes. We need to get to one. We need to buy one at a time. And they don't understand that just buying the fractions and just doing it consistently, whether that's once a week, 7 days a week, once a month, whatever your DCA is, they just don't understand that. And I feel that it's you're going to get these companies, you're going to get, I think Apple's going to come out and make a statement and they're going to start adding it. You're going to get Microsoft, you're going to Amazon, and this thing is just going to get so high that eventually they're going to be like, wow, you know what? Maybe I need to get some. And at that point, I think it's just going to be too late. And we're in a really weird position here in the West because we all know that we need Bitcoin, but we don't need Bitcoin right now. And that's the part where I think it's just going to become extremely devastating for a lot of people who do need it and they just can't see it. So that's kind of my prediction that's going to happen for this cycle. I don't think we see the retail coming in until really late in the game just because it's, they can see the writing on the wall. So if any of you have different thoughts on that, please, I'd like to hear.
Yeah, I would say that retail is probably starting to come in, but like we've seen in previous cycles, retail is going to come in with a little bit of degen attitude and a degen perspective. And they're probably going to go and buy the ETF or MicroStrategy, and there's a lot of discussions on these 2x leveraged ETFs like MSTX, MSTU, or they're chasing cash flow through MSTY. And I think there's some other ones floating around that are like 3x leverage. So I'd say that there's some retail that is coming into the space, but they're not going into the underlying asset, which is unfortunate because they'll eventually get wrecked if they don't understand like the daily rebalancing of these leveraged ETFs that they're buying and how there's slippage and decay that's going to hurt them in the long run, in addition to the management fees associated with those funds. So I would say that retail is here. And then to your point, Coleman, you know, I think there's still that unit bias that, like you were alluding to, you know, people think because it's 100K and they need to get to one, or they don't even know that they can buy fractions of a Bitcoin. And so I think it's important for, you know, Bitcoiners to continue to spread the message, even though you might get dirty looks from folks. As an example, I was out at the Pentagon this past weekend for a friend's retirement ceremony, and I took the opportunity to kind of talk to folks and about Bitcoin. And, you know, like you were talking about before, one of the questions was, well, you know, what do you think about XRP, or what do you think about Doge? And I spent a lot of time repeating myself on why I think all of those are shit coins. And in the comments in the pill here, I put a couple images that I shared with folks, just letting them know my perspective on, you know, everything else is a shit coin and your exit liquidity, or if you really wanted to look into the issuance and the tokenomics of all these other shit coins, really it's not a fair issuance like Bitcoin was, that started from nothing with no valuation and no presale. So yeah, I think retail is coming. And they're starting to get here, but probably not at the rates that we would like to see on chain, because they're taking that opportunity to go into things like MSTR or the ETFs.
And I can definitely confirm what you had said at the beginning of their AC. I thought I had orange pilled two of our close friends earlier in the year when the Bitcoin price was still lower. And then I found out yesterday when I was just kind of giving my thoughts on MicroStrategy, they didn't buy any Bitcoin. They just bought the proxies, and then they bought the leveraged MicroStrategy. And so, and they still just, they refused to buy and hold the actual asset. So it was really disappointing for me. I thought I had broke through with them and I was really happy. And then, I found that news out. So it was a little disappointing on that. So just make sure again, just stay positive. And I think one of the things that stuck with me with that Natalie interview was that they may not remember the message they're giving, but they're going to remember the way you delivered it. So again, just always be positive and try not to get too frustrated with the people that we'll be talking with. And so just need to make sure as a community here, we have a big push just to steer everybody away from these shit coins, from XRP, from ETH, whatever, the Doge, whatever these are coming through, and point them in the right platforms. We're seeing a lot of reports that people who are purchasing Bitcoin through Coinbase are having extreme delays to get that off, like several weeks to months to be able to remove it from that platform. So again, I really like River, Unchained, and Strike. Those are the three that I always recommend. Personally, I really like Strike or River, just because they have their own custodian, like they're all internal. They don't use anybody else. And I'm not trying to dox anybody or give them a hard time, but I know that there were people that were purchasing their Bitcoin through Swan, had a little bit of a nasty surprise over the last couple of weeks when they had like a $100 charge to their account because that was what their custodian had charged them for holding their Bitcoin. So again, point them in the right places. I'm not saying Swan's a bad company. I've never had that problem with Strike, Unchained, or River. So those are the ones that I like to follow up with. And then.
Yeah, Coleman, if I can, I think what's interesting, I like all those too. I like Strike. But I did notice when the price was flying that Strike had a monster spread, compared to what Spot was. And so I think one, you know, you got to be careful with any of these, including what you mentioned with Swan. But then number two, it's just showing you how liquidity is important, and especially this spread with Strike. And so I think we just need to be, you know, you can trust some of these folks that are running these great tech companies, but, you know, self-custody is the way. So it's good to be buying these things, but know what you're buying and then, start spending time looking at self-custody.
Bob, if you don't mind me asking, who do you recommend then where to do your Bitcoin purchases from? If Strike's having a bit of a spread.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's back to normal, but you know, when are a lot of these new people coming in to buy? They're buying at all-time highs, new all-time highs. And in fact, you know, you were talking about this earlier. Retail hasn't come yet, but if you look at Google Trends, searches did go crazy on December 5th when Bitcoin had hit a new all-time high and then dropped back off to where previous levels had been for, you know, the last few weeks. So, it's coming, but it's not here yet. In terms of recommendations, I mean, I think everybody just needs to do their own research. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to acquire Bitcoin. You know, you've mentioned a lot of them that are pretty good. And the main reason just for everybody out there that we mention these is because they are Bitcoin only. And I think that's an important, topic to just touch on real quick as we talk about, you know, other cryptocurrencies like, that gain a trend and that are going up in value and people are asking you about them. It's important, you know, Coinbase derives a lot of their revenue, as we've talked about before, from just people trading, getting in and getting out. Bitcoin isn't as sexy because it's a long-term asset to hold. And so I think one of the main reasons to not send people to companies like Coinbase is because people do have such unit bias, right? They're looking at it saying, hey, a whole Bitcoin is 100,000 or 98,000 or wherever it's at today. But I can buy XYZ coin for pennies or fractions of a penny and get lots of it for my dollars. And so that's not really the option on some of these Bitcoin only platforms like Swan, River, Strike, Cash App is another one. And so there's all kinds of opportunity in this market, but you know, for you, it's important for each one of us to know again what we're buying, how we're buying it, and then getting it off of those, once you know you've accumulated enough, getting it off of those platforms. And so, you know, price is one thing, the spread from the actual price is another thing, and then your cost of acquiring, right? So 1% is the fee on some of these platforms. Some of them are free except for there's a spread, and then you have, you know, the bigger platforms that do higher volumes and they're charging lesser fees. But the problem with those is people end up, getting distracted by all of the pretty lights and, buy these other cryptocurrencies because they have unit bias. So I don't know, maybe I talked in circles there. I'll land the plane, but I think this stuff all plays a part in people's journeys, including our own, and, you know, take some personal responsibility. These spaces are great for this stuff, but, for you to learn a little bit about this stuff, but, you need to kind of wake up and do some research on your own and take responsibility for how you're acquiring and then how eventually you're custodying your Bitcoin.
Yeah. I just want to point out too, like, if you think about it, like of what's important, in terms of Bitcoin, like if, like the voices that I trust are the ones that, like you guys mentioned, like are Bitcoin only. And I think that what's important there, especially like when you, like they can see that like there's money to be made with the shit coins, right? So if they're at least like, you know, if they're foregoing that to stay like on the task of Bitcoin of like the, you know, not, if they're already choosing not to scam you for profits, it just gives you them a little bit more credibility in my eyes that they're not gonna, you know, try to, finagle you out of your coins, right? Every time I've, tried to use one of the apps that also did shit coins, I have difficulties. So you mentioned, Coinbase, I think, Coleman. I've complained before in the past, I had Gemini. That's what I used. So the first ones to give me a business account. But I had issues, with them. I could not move my Bitcoin off of there. So I had to actually sell it and, you know, incur that tax penalty and then, repurchase it. Luckily it was like only like a month or two of DCA. So it wasn't like a lot of money, or a lot of Bitcoin, but, it's still like the principle of it and like the risk that, you know, if I wasn't moving it off to a cold storage, I'd be having a really bad time. You know, like I would have incurred, like quite the penalty there. So that's just like another aspect of it. Regardless of where you're onboarding and however trustworthy it seems, make sure you're, the ultimate goal should be self-custody. You know, we've said it plenty of times. It's not as scary as it may seem. Try it with a small amount at first. Then intentionally, reset your wallet. You'll see that it's not that scary to do so. And then as you get more comfortable, you know, move the rest of your Bitcoin into something that you control. Because that's the safest place for it to be. You won't have to worry about, you know, it removes that, third party risk. So that's where you got to get to. In terms of like platforms, I've seen one, I haven't used it yet because they use Plaid to like connect to your banks, but like Bitcoin Well, I think it is that like you can directly, they'll put it like directly into your wallet. So like I'm intrigued by it, but I also hate Plaid because they get all of your banking information. And then, there's something else there. Oh yeah. So like if you are doing it to a wallet, if you're using something like Sparrow, you can get like a bunch of wallet addresses that are in your wallet. You know, so don't just dump everything into your one primary wallet. Just because like they'll, you know, since they're, you know your customer compliant, they'll then know like that without a doubt that wallet is, you know, whoever you are's wallet. And if they get, audited or subpoenaed or anything like that, then, you know, any deniability on your part is gone. So just keep that in mind.
Great advice, coming from everybody. So I do thank you for that. Really quick though, I just want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Punch Plate. Make sure you stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Go check them out at punchplate.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training, paladintowertactics.com. Black Sheep Ammo, Restock Ammo, blacksheepammo.com, and Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Use the code BTCVETS with an S for 5% off. And if you pay in Bitcoin, there's an additional 10% off. So potential for 15% off your entire order at solosatoshi.com. And speaking of ways to purchase Bitcoin, hey, winning that lottery and getting a block is one heck of a way to get Bitcoin. So try it, play the lottery with solosatoshi.com. And last but not least, Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th in Juneau. It is going to be an amazing conference. I encourage all of you to quickly, if you're going to be going, to purchase your tickets and your hotel reservations. Juneau's a hot spot to go in the summer. It's a small tourist area, so the hotels are very limited. It is a family-friendly event, so make sure you bring the wife, the kids, your husband, and make a good trip out of it. Get there early. Take part of a lot of the pre-conference events. We're going to take a cruise up Tréssion Fjord, do some whale watching, see some sea lions, see the glaciers, see the beauty of the Untouched North. Check them out at bitcoinalaska.org. Some other news that I wanted to talk about is Peter Schiff has absolutely lost his mind. He's fallen off the deep end. I don't know if anybody saw his post. I believe it was on Friday. But quote, I threw it up in the nest, but quote, Bitcoin has become a national security threat. It's one thing when private citizens voluntarily waste their own money buying Bitcoin, but it crosses the line when they bribe government officials to squander the public's money buying it. Bitcoin is now public enemy number one. This comes off the heels of Michael Saylor going out, and I have a clip we're going to play here in a bit. But he is suggesting that we should start selling our gold reserves and devalue what gold is worth and using those proceeds to purchase Bitcoin. But does anybody have any thoughts on Peter Schiff and this derangement syndrome he's having with Bitcoin?
Coleman, I've always said that, you know, every hero needs an anti-hero or a villain, and that's Peter Schiff for Bitcoin. So I think it's part of the shtick. But then the other thing is, you know, I think what he's miscalculated is not so much Bitcoin. It's just the trends that people would wake up over time, and that more monetary value would be stored in a non-sovereign digital asset like Bitcoin rather than a non-sovereign physical asset like gold. And beyond that, I mean, there's so many other, you know, comparisons and, properties that you could differentiate gold and Bitcoin on. But I think what he's really just failed to understand is that the world is going more and more digital and less analog. And he's missed on that trend so far. It doesn't mean he couldn't change course now, but I think he's steeped in his arguments and, you know, unfortunately his old ways. And until he makes that shift, he's not going to be, you know, holding on to more value than he was before versus Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's kind of sad, honestly. Like, I like Peter Schiff for a lot of things. Like, he is, if you just listen to him talk about, like, the economic issues of the United States and the problems with, the fiat system, he is a phenomenal voice in that sense. And he's been on that, tirade for a long time. So, it is kind of sad to me to see him, like, I mean, it's essentially shilling a shitcoin. I think gold is a little bit better than a shitcoin, but comparatively, I don't think there's an argument, that gold is better than Bitcoin at the, you know, like, I've joked before how I listened to Peter Schiff back in like 2016, 2017, and I bought gold instead of Bitcoin. I don't hold him entirely responsible. You know, I was still the one that made that bad choice, but, you know, if you just look at the performance, you know, gold has about doubled and Bitcoin is like, what? I don't know what it was back then, $4,000, and it's $100,000 now. So like, you can do the math there. So I think he's just kind of trapped, you know, like he's, if you own a bunch of gold and gold related businesses, you're going to shill gold. And unfortunately, like he's at the point of, you know, having an opinion is one thing, but then like that kind of rhetoric is kind of putting your own interests above those that listen to you, which is, not something I'd really want to see out of anybody, especially somebody, like I said, like Peter Schiff is somebody they actually respected for a lot of his work. So
I think Bob is right that everybody needs a villain. And I think this is his role. And I think Peter Schiff's really embraced this. I do think that he does have exposure to Bitcoin. I think all of this is kind of a facade. He's just trying to seem like this. And this is just kind of his thing. I'll use Brent Johnson. He's the dollar milkshake guy. Again, he really thinks that that's his thing. And so I'm not saying that you need to agree or disagree with him, but I do think this is Peter Schiff's thing, and I don't think he's ever going to change. Eventually it will be made that he does have Bitcoin, and, you know, again, that's just going to hurt his credibility, but I think he's just holding on to this, and he's just going to keep being this guy that's just going to keep saying this. He'll just become the Jim Cramer of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think his son is a Bitcoiner, right? So like that kind of adds credibility to what you're saying, that he's just kind of shitposting basically.
And he's a smart guy. Like again, I think he's correct. I think Bitcoiners and Peter Schiff align on every single thing other than just his opinion on Bitcoin. And I'll use Larry Lepard. He's a good friend of the Bitcoin veterans as an example. He was a huge gold and silver bug, and he still values them and still holds on to them, but he's seen kind of the writing on the wall that everything is moving away and it's going to Bitcoin. 23 Skidoo, you have your hand up, sir. Good morning. Hey, Omar, you still got a hot mic, sir.
Oh, my bad.
You're good. 23, did you have something you'd like to say?
Yes. Hey, good morning. Sorry. I don't know if you prompted me earlier. Let me step out of this noise. Yeah, I'm switching the subject here. I got kind of a question, I guess, to see if anybody on here has any expertise or insight. So again, kind of, I'm a blue collar guy, kind of living hand to mouth, and I have a little bit of cash right now. It's not the amount that I would normally feel comfortable, kind of moving into Bitcoin through a purchase, but there's this funny little kind of loophole that I'm looking at, and that is that, on Strike, I don't know if anybody uses Strike, but on Strike, you can deposit your cash, and then if you send, because Lightning functions on Bitcoin rails, as most people probably know, anything they do is moving on Bitcoin. So if you send, say, $100 on Strike off to, through Lightning to a Lightning wallet, do whatever you want with it there, but just hanging on to it, sitting on it in this case. And then 6 months later, you send it back to Strike. It shows up on the Strike transaction history as cash deposit, cash sent, cash received. And nowhere in there does their own transaction history even state that you bought Bitcoin, because you didn't. You didn't buy Bitcoin. You sent cash dollars, but cash dollars move on BTC. So the long version of a short kind of insight and question is that it's kind of interesting, because this potentially gives me a way to, during when I'm facing what I think is a potential 2x to 10x in Bitcoin over the next 10 months, a year, it allows me to sit on what would normally be cash that I may need somewhere along the way, but potentially receive the gains in BTC without a sales if I don't sell it, you know. Anyway, any thoughts there? Does anybody know anything about Strike? I'm sure if you were audited and you made gains, of course, to the letter of the law, you own capital gains. But it's just a really interesting loophole.
I don't think I really followed your question. You're saying that you don't want to purchase Bitcoin, but you want to transfer it on the Lightning Network?
Well, so what it comes down to is this. I can either sit on some cash, and I may need a little bit, just tiny bits. I can sit on it, but if Bitcoin goes from 100 to 200 over the next 7 months or something, obviously it could go down, right? But if it does, I don't make that gain. If I buy BTC and I make that gain and I need a little money, then it is a capital gains. I got to pay tax on. But the fact is that in Strike, because Strike operates on Bitcoin rails, I can deposit money there. I can send it off through the Lightning Network and let it sit, cold storage, hot, whatever, however you want to do it, on a hot wallet. But I've never bought BTC. So now the time that I'm biding until I maybe need $1,000 or something, I haven't purchased BTC in any way, shape, or form. If I need $1,000, I send it back to Strike. I send it back to my bank account. I have my $1,000, and nowhere in their transaction history does it ever say that I sold BTC. It just says that I deposited cash, sent cash, received cash. So there's not a tax moment.
Okay, I'm tracking you now. So I don't know if you know that Strike just released this feature, but they now have bill pay on their platform.
Yep.
So
yep.
If it was and this isn't financial advice, but if you have cash,
sure.
I would dump it into Bitcoin. And this way, if you do need it with Strike, you can just pay your bill directly.
Right.
And they'll have all the tax forms for you. So I would rather I'd rather put $1,000 in Bitcoin. The price doubles, you have 2,000. And if I need to pay a $500 bill, I'd rather just pay the capital gains on that than just have that $1,000 sitting there depreciating against.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's a similar thing, although by what you're saying, technically I'm selling Bitcoin. I'm buying Bitcoin. There's no tax event unless, I don't know how that works out. If it's all sitting on Strike and you bought Bitcoin and you pay bills with it, does that imply that you have a gain if you haven't You haven't liquidated the Bitcoin, you're paying a bill.
As far as I know, it would count as a gain. I'm not a tax professional, but I'm pretty sure that they would hit you for that.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're grasping my other, but my other question still remains.
So
I don't know if anybody's ever used.
If I'm tracking what you're saying is basically like, since they don't actually like effectively the Bitcoin purchase is, on paper.
Hey, EMR, just one second. Hey, 23, can you put your, on mute just when someone else is talking? You just have a lot of background noise there, so it's hard to hear the other person. All right, go ahead, EMR.
Thanks. So if I'm tracking, 23, what you're saying is since it's being accounted for just on paper, like you're moving dollars around, you're saying you can potentially avoid the capital gains tax, because they're not, even though you're saying like, I'm buying Bitcoin, they're never actually like saying that you purchased Bitcoin. Right?
Exactly. So yeah, so it's a subtle nuance, but yes, exactly. Because for a long time, I was buying Bitcoin on Strike, purchased Bitcoin. I mean, it's really clear. You have USD deposited, you purchase Bitcoin, you send Bitcoin off, whatever, wherever it's going, you send it off. So now there's definitely 100% a track record that you purchased BTC. Obviously someday later you're dealing with a tax event if you sell any BTC. But what I realized, because it rides on Bitcoin rails, I have USD in there. I send the USD to myself somewhere else, hot wallet, anywhere else. It's a Bitcoin address though, because they function on Bitcoin. And then my purchase history says that I deposited USD, I sent USD. It definitely does not say that I bought Bitcoin, whereas the other option, it says that I bought Bitcoin.
So 23 Skidoo, what I think you're referencing is a really cool, subtle nuance with Strike. And I agree with you, or I guess what you're implying, on one hand. On the other hand, I think, you know, what it does is it helps Strike not have to provide you with a 1099, I think it's a 1099B. But you would still, like, as we've kind of mentioned, you would still have actually a gain, and, you know, by the letter of the law, or at least the way they are now, you would need to, report that on your own to the IRS. Even though Strike isn't doing it because of this little, you know, subtle nuance, the way their reporting function works. So I think, you know, for small amounts, you know, like doing bill pay and those types of things, you probably get away with it. But if it was anything larger and you faced an audit, you'd have to, do your own self-reporting.
Right. Yeah. So you picked up on it. I'm glad, because I've tried to bring this up many times and no one else has ever quite picked up on the nuance that I'm trying to get at here. So yeah, I mean, again, so the question mark lies in when does the gain occur? Because if I'm depositing USD, I'm sending USD, it's sitting somewhere else, whether it's cold storage on some other, you know, Lightning hot wallet or something like that. And it goes up in value, but somewhere along the way, I need some USD. I send it back via the same method, which by their own accounting that I can see, it does not say that I sent myself Bitcoin and I'm selling Bitcoin. I sent myself USD and I withdrew some USD to an account. Now, if I only withdrew $100 out of, say, $1,000 initial deposit, but it went up to $2,000, you're saying technically I'm using the money that's a gain. I've created a tax event.
Yeah, I think you're playing with fire with that. If you get someone that really wants to investigate you, you're setting yourself up for unnecessary scrutiny. So, again, not financial advice. You do you. I would just rather put it in the parking of the Bitcoin, and then if I need it, sell it and just do it all that way. It's just easier. You can sleep better at night knowing that someone's not going to be knocking at your door or coming in asking you about transactions. So that would be my advice on it. Wade, I see you have your hand up, sir. Good morning.
Morning. I just like to roll back to the Peter Schiff discussion. There's a lot of mining companies that I believe, you know, I don't think Peter Schiff necessarily makes a ton of money from the the retail side. I mean, he makes a lot, but it, who else speaks for the big mining industry? The here in Juneau, we have the only pure gold mine, I think, in the country, Kensington. And, you know, what would happen to that company if that happened? Like, gold would go down substantially, and in the mining company, they'll just, if they have gold in the mountains and the price of gold goes down, they just sit on the mine until the price of gold goes up. But if the price of gold goes down substantially, the mine faces closure, and that's their entire, you know, if you look at, what is it, Coeur d'Alene Mining Company, or what else do they have at that point? Yeah, they'll still get, you know, from Greens Creek here, they get silver and other minerals that, you know, copper, lead, zinc, whatever, out of the mine. But, you know, for the more pure gold mines out there, they'd go away, and that revenue that they'd earn, you know, on top of the benefit of finding a gold vein would go away. So I don't know anyone else who speaks in the gold mining industry as much as Peter. Peter fully understands everything that goes on with, you know, the fiat system. So, and he's been preaching it since before Bitcoin. So now he's got the perfect answer, but he won't accept it. Therefore, I think a lot of his revenue comes from the big mining industry. That's just speculation.
No, I think you're right with that. I do know that he talks about mining companies. So I do think he sees the writing on the wall, but I don't think it would necessarily go away entirely, because just gold has such so many use cases, whether it's just for jewelry or for electronics. Just because the way that it is, you can do a lot of things with it. So I don't think go ahead.
If gold lost its monetary premium, jewelry wouldn't be a thing. It's like diamonds now are being manufactured and far fewer people are buying diamonds. So without the monetary premium to back up gold, it just being a durable, malleable, easy to make into jewelry metal, the benefit of that just kind of washes out. And the other use cases, they definitely don't carry a $2,000 an ounce premium to them. They're more like a couple $100 an ounce. Just the gold mining industry, it would cost them more to mine the gold than it would be for the money that they'd make by utilizing the metal. All
right, I'm tracking with you. Yeah, I'd have to give it more thought with that. I'm not gonna comment too much more. That was just kind of my speculation on it. But I still think there'd be use cases and they'd still be able to operate. Eomar, do you have your hand up, sir, or no?
Yeah, I was gonna comment on the other thing, but that's fine. I'll just add that I don't know if we'll actually get to the point where they completely abandon gold. Like, you know, they empty out the reserves of gold and stuff. I think that'll be a while down the road. Maybe, but I don't really see it. I don't think that, even if, you know, we get to the Bitcoin standard, I think there'll be like some Peter Schiff governments out there that are clinging to gold because they think it's going to make a comeback or something. So.
Well, I was going to play a video, but we're getting to the top of the hour, so I don't want to waste it because it's about 3 minutes long. But Saylor went on Alex Thorne's Galaxy's Brain podcast. And he spoke about this in a little bit more detail about his theory of just selling gold to devalue the assets that our enemies have. So I just have some talking points. I'll just go over really quick on what he had stated. So he said, gold's a shiny dead rock, sell it all. If you want to elevate the U.S.'s economic leadership in the world, there's a simple strategy. Dump the gold and buy Bitcoin, because you simultaneously demonetize the asset held by your enemies. Who owns gold? Russia, China, Iran. Demonetize gold once and for all. Put a stake in its heart and buy Bitcoin, and you get 25% of the Bitcoin network for free. You could just print the money to buy Bitcoin and keep the gold, but it's so much more intelligent to demonetize your enemy's network and everybody else's network. You might as well drive a gold from $20 trillion asset to a $4 trillion asset, devalue it, but held by every other non-US entity, and drive Bitcoin through the roof, and you'll have 25% of the Bitcoin network. So this is where a lot of Peter Schiff's anger is coming from with these comments here. And I can see Michael's his talking points and how he thinks and why he think it'd be really good, to do so. Just because you could see the rate at which China, Russia, India is buying gold. So you give yourself a strategic advantage if you're the first person to do it. Whether it happens or not, I'm not really sure. But if anybody wants to make any comments on that, we can definitely discuss.
Coleman, they're already doing it with the US dollar, right? So all the debt is denominated in USD and what we owe is paid in USD. And so what's happening is, you know, over the course of time is a devaluing or a, you know, a, basically a debasing of the US dollar, which they all hold and need to hold. And so I think the next logical, attack would be on gold, because where has Russia shifted, right? And the whole thing really does come down to if you debase a currency that everyone's required basically to hold, and then they move to gold, why would you not try to everything you could to debase that? And the only reason they can stay, you know, afloat or solvent is because they're sitting on natural resources, which is something that would have to be used towards mining Bitcoin. And so I think it just makes logical sense if you really start looking at it from a nation state level.
I agree with you with that, but I think that possibly, you know, our non-friends are wise to that playbook. As you saw, Russia, President Putin came out last week and said that no one can stop Bitcoin. And so he kind of sold it with that. China's changing their stance on it. They're not taking such an aggressive stance. And I guess that Bitcoin MENA today, the Minister of Economic Affairs of Iran said that they're introducing a Bitcoin and crypto regulation framework instead of outright banning it. Sorry, so from straight up banning it. So you're starting to see some of these, you know, the three big ones in the BRICS, Russia, Iran, and China coming out and changing their stance on it. And you could all say that all three of those are not very friendly with the United States. So if they're going to make a play on this, again, it's going to have to be done pretty quick. Otherwise, the playing field is going to be very level for everybody.
Speaking of central banks and the other nations and Peter Schiff kind of rolling it all into one, central banks are friendlier to gold because gold doesn't replace the rails for the system in which they operate. So gold is not a threat to central banking, but Bitcoin is. So, you know, just makes me wonder where Peter Schiff's motivations really are. Also, it makes me understand, it helps people understand that the BRIC nations, why would they rather go to a Bitcoin standard? You know, because it replaces the rails of the U.S. system.
Yeah, they have all the benefits of switching to Bitcoin without really any downside risk, just to escape from the United States. So again, this isn't happening overnight. It's not going to happen the next day when Trump takes office. It doesn't matter what they implement. Even if he came out and did an executive order, created a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Remember, it's going to take time for this all to unfold, time for the price to react, time for it to start getting implemented. So just keep that in mind, that don't expect things to happen by February 1st. It's going to take a while, but I think the significance is that just you have these major players in the game coming out, nation states, large corporations, all addressing the exact same thing. They're not coming out and saying they want to start adding gold to their treasury. That's not what Microsoft's voting on tomorrow. That's not what Amazon's going to vote on in April. It's Bitcoin, and they can just kind of see the writing on the wall. So it'll be really interesting. And Amazon's in a really unique position, right? Because they're one of the largest online retailers. So if they could go ahead and just implement accepting Bitcoin as a payment, they could really accelerate their accumulation of it. So I think this is really positive news for Bitcoin And I think, again, the middle half of next year is just going to be absolutely bonkers for us.
Well, on that note, like, Eric Trump's going to be speaking in Bitcoin Mina. I'm curious to see what he has to say. Also, Jerome Powell claiming that he can't be fired. Well, he can be fired. The U.S. can default on, you know, or not default on most of its debt, but default on the debt to the Federal Reserve, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 or $8 trillion. So we could, I mean, he could literally just shut down the Fed through an executive order, I believe. I don't believe it would take anything more than that. I may be wrong on that one, but that would be an extreme case. But this administration seems to be one of extreme cases. So I'm kind of bullish. Worst case scenario, I'm wrong and price of Bitcoin goes up. Best case scenario, the world changes a lot more next year than people realize.
Yeah. And again, it's pretty crazy that we're talking about this again in 2024. A lot of us thought this was going to be almost a 2030 discussion, of the United States doing this, but it's happening now and the world is taking notice. And it's fascinating. The only thing I'm going to put a little caveat on is that I was under the same assumption, Wade, that Eric Trump was going to Bitcoin Mina to hopefully talk about Trump's policy on Bitcoin and the strategic reserve. Unfortunately, it looks like he's going to talk about the Trump token. I don't know what it's called, but the shitcoin that they created and that online platform. So you may get some kind of announcement that they did purchase that crypto exchange, or they're going to be doing it in the next couple of months. But I'm not as sure as I was last week that they're going to be talking about the U.S. Policy on Bitcoin. I hope they do, but I'm not sure.
Man, you just ruined my day. You just ruined my day.
Hey, you know what? I have to make sure everyone, because when I saw that again last week, I was all for it. And then it came out this morning and some of the talking points he's going to be doing. So again, he could slip it in there. He could talk about it a little bit, but let's just have, again, realistic expectations that he's probably not going to be talking about it.
So, shitcoining and cologne is what we're getting. So that's nice.
100%.
Just when I thought they were getting smarter, he let me know that they're really as dumb as I always thought they were.
I mean, if you had 4 years to cash out, you know? Yeah, don't buy a Trump coin. Don't buy Hawk to a coin. It's all the same scam with different packaging.
It looks like they're already starting to drop the hammer on her, with her, the way that she released it and everything going on. It looks like she took a huge chunk, which isn't really surprising, but she took a huge chunk of that initial presale, and just kind of pocketed it all before everyone else got rugged. So again, don't shitcoin. Like, it's so simple. We say this at the end of every show, but again, these people, they really only think about themselves. And again, even if you created a shit coin with the best intentions to help everybody, there's someone in control. There's someone in charge that can dictate the way it goes. And at the end of the day, there's always going to be someone on the wrong end of whatever decision they make. That's why we Bitcoin. There is nobody. It is completely, anybody can use it. Friends, enemies. Again, Bitcoin only.
Yeah, decentralized is a really important thing, you know. Somebody can have the purest intents and, you know, unless they're completely isolated from the world, somebody can have leverage on them, you know. So we see that with a lot of would-be good actors, you know. I think, you know, we saw Musk competing with it when he's trying to go full free speech. You know, he stepped over a line and he rolled back a little bit. Still better than most places, but you know, he's a person with family and, you know, interests and all of that stuff. The same thing goes for any head of a shitcoin, you know. All it takes is a little bit of leverage. The weaker the person, I think the easier it is to get leverage on them. And then, you know, they're at the behest of whoever holds that leverage. So with Bitcoin, it's decentralized, you know, it's the miners, the node runners, you know, it's a lot harder to for any single entity to impose their will upon.
So we went a little bit past the top of the hour. Does anybody up here on the panel have anything they'd like to get off their chest? Anything that we didn't cover you'd like us to hit on? Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call the show there. Again, I do want to thank every single person who tuned in today. And the fact that you tune in every weekday, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., it really does make me happy. I'm glad to see that we do see the numbers growing. Let's just continue to do that. Tomorrow is going to be an amazing show. I am really looking forward to it. We're going to have Adrian Morris, Ben Workman, and DR Lewis joining us for a micro strategy space. So it is going to be good. I've got a bunch of questions for him. I know AC is also really big into this, and he's, I think, just as excited as I am in the back channels. So it's going to be a great one. I'll have the link for tomorrow's space posted here shortly on the Bitcoin Veterans handle. So just go ahead and give it a like and retweet so we can get a lot of people in this space. It's going to be a great one. And then tomorrow night, we're going to have the Bitcoin video podcast. Shane Hazel, Mike Holbart will be hosting that. No guest this week, but we're just going to sit down and talk about everything going on, give us some updates. It'll be a great show. That'll be happening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So just remember, go out there, spread the Bitcoin veteran message. Make sure that, again, like Natalie said it best, they're not going to remember what we said, but they're going to remember the way we presented it. So go out there and let's be good ambassadors for Bitcoin and the Bitcoin veterans. Be patient, be calm, and try and be understanding. And just make sure we're pushing everybody in the right direction. We don't let them shit coin. Eomar, did you have something, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, you mentioned, the different ways to connect and stuff. I just want to throw out there, Gabe had posted, about Operation Bitcoin being on LinkedIn. So, he does a lot of work in terms of like surfacing, Bitcoin friendly, or veteran friendly Bitcoin employers. So make sure to check that out. I posted it to the space there.
MSTR veterans tomorrow.
MSTR veterans tomorrow. I wouldn't be a Bitcoin veteran space unless we talked about it. So we're spending a whole space on it. It'll be awesome. Tune in tomorrow. Go out there. Have a fantastic day. Just don't shitcoin. It's like watching a 4K movie on dial-up.